This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And thank you very much, Joel. It is a Thursday night with Jason Mackey, albeit an abbreviated Thursday night. We have about 90 minutes together. We'll go with 80 now. We have a lot to talk about. We have a lot to fit into a short period of time. I always tweet out kind of what we're doing, what I want to tackle. I've been going through prep as I usually do, trying to see what I want to talk about, places I want to go with this show, and I wish we had more than 90 minutes. There's a lot to address. Week 2 coming up for the Steelers, Seahawks on Sunday. I'll be there. We'll talk about that. I have a confession to make that I'll get to that in the first segment about Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers offense and how that has looked, but more Aaron Rodgers as a person. And I'll talk a little bit about that and tell a story and make fun of myself a little bit. But it's not only that. I was on with the PM team this afternoon, and they asked me about Sidney Crosby and the trade speculation and a lot of the noise surrounding that. On the Post-Gazette side of things, I've been digging into as much as I can a possible sale of the team from FSG to the Hoffman family of companies. I want to discuss that a little bit. I do think Sidney Crosby and what has been said there, you're kind of caught in the middle. I don't think it's directly relative to a sale, but it's not indirect. You can't separate the two. The direction of the Penguins and why we're seeing all this stuff coming out about Sidney Crosby, is any of it real? I have some opinions on that. I wouldn't wade into it and tell you at least what I know from a reporting standpoint. The Pirates swept today in Baltimore. That's a topic of conversation. It's been a weird couple of series for the Pirates, a weird post-All-Star break run, second half of the season, whatever. A week ago, they looked, you know, like they might salvage this thing, like Ben Charrington might be safe, and wouldn't you know it, swept over the weekend, swept by the Orioles, going to D.C. to take on the Nationals. They're swept there. It's not going to be good. Let's talk big picture about the Pirates. What have we learned? A little teaser there. I don't think we've learned all that much. O'Neill Cruz has been an issue. I wanted to get into a little bit about him, where things lie with Cruz. What can the Pirates do? What should the Pirates do? But I'm mostly interested with the Pirates on how to finish this season, where it takes us, individual player performance, what it means for Ben Charrington, all that fun stuff. Backyard Brawl is Saturday. I have a column live, post-gazette.com. I was down at Pitt on Tuesday and talked to some people about that. It's a game that I feel very strongly should be played every year. I don't think I'm in the minority there. I understand logistics. I want to talk a little college football scheduling, why I think this thing is a must-have every year. I have a solution, too. We were kicking this around on a Post-Gazette podcast this morning. when you look at Pitt, Penn State, West Virginia, how to fix, we'll say it that way, address a common complaint fan bases of all three schools, or at least two of the three, if that's enough of a tease. I think there's a way to figure this out, though. And I also want to give you some stuff that I'm looking for out of Saturday's game. Again, 3:30 in Morgantown. Should be great time. I'll be heading down there for that. I'm with you until 7:30. That's when Westwood One coverage of the Commanders and Packers takes over. So we're going to make our time together count. The Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. You can visit them at southhillskia.net. Producing Behind the Glass, the one and only Joel Nelson. Joel, good evening. I'm sorry, I'm remiss in saying hello. This is the third time we formally talked to each other today, so it's even better to see you now than it was this morning.
Likewise, Jason. Always good to work with you tonight.
So we had a staff meeting earlier today, and Joel and I both, did you go home between the meeting?
I did, yeah.
Okay, so
how about you?
Yeah, I did. I went home, and I did a little bit of prep for tonight. I did a hit with Andrew and Chris. I went for a run, I showered, and I came back.
So, there you go.
It was productive, but we both changed clothes, although I recycled the t-shirt. I lost my pants and well, not literally lost my pants, but you know, I went to shorts.
Good
and
deal.
Joel was banging out some steps.
Yes.
What are you up to today?
Just kind of walking around my neighborhood, just, you know, like maybe five different 10-minute walks.
Okay.
That sort of stuff. So
stay on the move,
like,
Joelie. Stay
yeah,
on the move.
Absolutely. It's pretty nice.
All right.
Pretty nice. Getting in all this weather before everything goes down to the 30s and the 20s.
Oh,
and the
man,
coming
I don't want to hear it.
Don't want to think about
it. I don't want to hear it. We're not there, Joel. We're not there. Really good Thursday night football game tonight, by the way. Kind of overlooked that one, but I don't know about you, Joel. I'm excited. Commanders, Packers, pair of 1-0 teams. You got Micah Parsons, Jaden Daniels last week. Really, really good. Packers favored by 3.5 points, I believe. The Commanders have not done a very good job of going into Lambeau in winning. I'll talk a little bit about that, but I'm curious if they're able to do it. Jaden Daniels in Washington, man. Oh, buddy. As someone who lived down there for a couple of years and experienced what Commanders fans, what that can be like when they're good, I kind of root for them. I do. I want to see that work out. That can be such a cool football town. They're such a sleeping giant of a fan base ready to jump on board, and they already have, and we'll see. Big test for the Commanders there. All right, so if we get into some Steelers stuff, which I want to lead off the show with, I have the opportunity to kind of hit on a few different topics. The first is sort of what I'm looking for out of this Seahawks game. And I highlighted a couple areas and stuff that, you know, it's been a topic this entire week. I don't know, maybe there's some creative way to rank it. But either way, any way you slice this up, my number one thing, it is circled, it is highlighted, it is a giant, giant part of the Steelers season right now is Broderick Jones. Like, this was the storyline, in my opinion, that if this goes awry, the Steelers are going to have a really tough time keeping it together. You've got a 41-year-old quarterback who I've liked a lot of what I've seen about Aaron Rodgers. I'll get to some deeper thoughts on that very shortly, but he's 41. 2 years ago, had an Achilles injury. You need to keep him upright. And if Broderick Jones can't get it done, which he was unable to get it done against the Jets, you've got a couple choices. Either you keep Darnell Washington in as a, you know, pass-protecting assistant, for lack of a better term, or you turn to Calvin Anderson or somebody. Maybe you try to go get somebody. Maybe Calvin Anderson's not the guy, although I think he'd probably be the next man up if they decided to make a move. You're in a world of hurt. And I understand if you're the Steelers, you're going to give Broderick Jones another opportunity. You're probably going to give him multiple opportunities, but it did not look good on Sunday. I was there. I was there. You watched on TV. We saw the same game. That's not going to work. Troy Fautanu was better, but still, got a 41-year-old quarterback. You need your tackles to keep him clean. So anyway, I'll be watching the protection. I'll specifically will be watching Broderick Jones. How much time does Aaron Rodgers have? I think we saw, and I'm going to pause here with Aaron Rodgers for a few seconds. When he had the time, Aaron Rodgers doesn't look 41. I don't have any problem with what Aaron Rodgers gave the Steelers. It's been the same thing that we've seen in Latrobe, practice on the south side, all of this. The arm talent, it's there. Dude can play the game. In fact, it's really fun to watch. The arm angle, the creativity, some of the stuff they're running. Anybody is open all the time. That's legit. It's more than just some sort of Mickey Mouse line. I love it. I love watching the guy play. I've been having these conversations with myself and in my family room as my wife and I this week. Joel, have you seen Enigma, the Netflix documentary on Rodgers?
I have not, no.
So I'm late to the party on this. It's embarrassing for a sports writer and a radio host to have not seen Enigma, but I didn't watch it. I don't watch a lot of TV other than live sporting events, but... So a couple days ago, we started into this, and we finished it very quickly. It's only 3 episodes. I couldn't recommend it enough. It was fascinating. And you get a really good feel for the type of person Aaron Rodgers is off the field and the way he's wired and you know, what he's about, right? And I always take these things into consideration, you know, who produced it, what angle, what are they trying to tell us? Is all of this truthful? This is his perspective. What if we go get the outside world's perspective? Like, what I'm watching on my screen is not gospel. I understand that. But it also does give you a peek into how the wiring has worked on his brain. And I don't mean literally, I mean figuratively. But it was a fascinating look into what we're seeing here, into what motivates this guy, into why he keeps doing this. There's a lot of talk in there, and I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a lot of talk about how to function as a leader. And I thought of Aaron Rodgers before he got here, honestly, as a narcissist. I thought of Aaron Rodgers as somebody who was probably a jerk, self-centered, only cared about himself, was some sort of drama queen, loved the attention, was over the hill, and a lot of this other negative stuff. I was wrong. I was wrong at a lot of levels. That doesn't mean it's going to work out. It might fail miserably. Maybe Rodgers can't sustain it. Maybe he injures himself. Maybe the Steelers can't put enough around Aaron Rodgers. I'm not taking any of that to the bank. I'm not saying the Steelers are going to be some elite team. I'm not changing that. But I had Rodgers painted a certain way, even the bad teammate, bad guy, or whatever. And you know what? I was wrong. And a lot of times in media, people might not want to tell you this. They're wrong. They're wrong in their assessment. And we should all be more honest about this stuff. It was a lesson for me to not rush to judgment on somebody I don't know. And I'm not saying I know Aaron Rodgers all that well now. I don't. I can't fire off a text message. I'm not going to have an elongated conversation with him or anything like that. But a selfish jerk, I'm not going there. One of the interesting things in the Enigma documentary, if you've ever seen it, it's about his family. And part of the media wants to take this storyline and run with it and say he's estranged from his family, right? And that must make you a really bad person if you're estranged from your parents. Yet at the same time, his brother goes on The Bachelor, some reality TV show. And then the parents hop on. And they're starting to talk about their family business in a setting that would only be accessible to them because of Aaron. He didn't like that. Is he wrong? Is he wrong for not liking that? Like, if I had some sort of family issue and my parents or my in-laws or whomever else saw it necessary to hop on reality TV, a spot that they would only have because of my quote-unquote fame, and they wanted to air all of our dirty laundry basically for attention, man, we're going to have some problems. Doesn't make you a bad person. That makes you human. But I like a lot of what Rodgers said in there about leadership, looking after and relating to younger players. And I think we're seeing a lot of that with the Steelers. So my first impressions of Aaron Rodgers were one thing. My second, third, fourth impressions of him are something totally different. Latest example came this week. Broderick Jones was terrible, right? What did Aaron do? Blamed himself. Said his mobility could have been better. He believes in Broderick Jones. Like that's the guy you want there. He's done various things talking about how smart of a football player Connor Hayward is. You can believe that or you could not. The penalty that Connor Hayward took on Sunday was not a smart player's penalty. That's beside the point. I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers. Talking about challenging Roman Wilson, relating to him, getting him more involved in the game plan. Did the same thing with Calvin Austin. Taking ownership of a lot of things. Taking care of those around you, being a leader. And in that documentary, again, I didn't mean to fall down this rabbit hole too much, but there's a lot of insight in there. He talks about being an alpha male, leading other, you know, leading his team, and how much that, you know, some of this kookiness that he does, and he's off, you know, in Costa Rica and doing these various retreats in the darkness and the ayahuasca and whatever. And like, people can look at that and be critical, but at the same time, it's kind of balancing him out. If that works for him, fine. But he's got a very difficult job to lead, very egotistical, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that you have to have that, professional athletes, and get them to buy into what you're doing. Get a team pointed in one direction, and I think Aaron Rodgers has done a very good job of that. I will get out of that topic, but it is something that interests me, and it's something that I was critical of before in some of my off-season writings, and I have the opportunity now to offer a bit of a mea culpa, and darn it, why not? All right, there's some other stuff, though, in all seriousness, that we need to see out of the Steelers differently on Sunday. Stopping the run, probably a good place to start there, right? 182 yards from the Jets, 39 attempts. It's not going to work. I was sitting there in the MetLife Stadium press box, and Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette and I sit next to each other, and it was a lot of talk about, man, it's just like, feels like the season never ended. Feels like the Baltimore game. They're getting pushed around at the line of scrimmage. Breece Hall and Braylon Allen ain't that good. That needs to change. I know on the south side there's talk about moving Y.A. Black maybe to a traditional nose tackle position. What do you do with Keanu Benton? I don't think it's that complicated. I really don't. I'm not trying to oversimplify the jobs that these guys do for a living. Stay in your gaps. One of the things that I saw on the Justin Fields touchdown where he skipped into the end zone, probably humming some sort of song, you've got TJ Watt very likely has contain on that play. He crashed, tried to make a play, tried to be a hero. And it's easy for Justin Fields. Somebody has responsibility there. Again, I don't have the defensive game plan, but in all likelihood, it was TJ Watt playing hero ball. Let's call it what it is. Get it together. It's not we're not strong enough or physical enough or the roster isn't built the right way. It's responsibility. And you've heard some of these guys talk about it this week. I think Juan Thornhill was one that really stuck out to me. Gap responsibility. Be where you're supposed to be. You might not make the play, but you're going to take up space and you're going to force the running back to go a certain way where you do have guys. You might not make the tackle. That's okay. But if you force somebody to go outside, to go inside, where your teammates are waiting to take this guy down, tip, you've done your job. I'd like to see more of that. I think Y.A. Black is somebody who's going to be pretty important on Sunday. He did not play enough snaps this past Sunday. In my opinion, I want to see more of him. We got the injury report a little bit ago. Focus on the defense. Joey Porter Jr. hasn't practiced the past 2 days. A little concerning as far as my opinion goes. I liked what Brandon Echols did against the Jets, and he might have an elevated role. We'll see what happens there. Jabril Peppers, I'll be curious to see how much he plays, whether it's him or Chuck Clark. Peppers has been there for 2 days. That's going to be awful tough. But at the same time, I like Jabril Peppers. I think he can do some good things for this defense. Kind of gives them the style of play that they need. Deshaun Elliott light, we'll call him. We'll see. Nick Herbig, a full participant, that was good news for their pass rush. Going to have to be on point to generate a little bit more pressure on the quarterback than they did against Justin Fields on Sunday. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm excited for it. These weeks in between take for darn ever way too much. And we'll have Steelers, Seahawks kicking off at 1 o'clock. All right, let's get into the Sidney Crosby stuff next. That's interesting. I've got some thoughts on that. His agent, Pat Persaud, said a few things I want to address, and I want to talk a little bit about the sale, what I know, how that impacts Sidney Crosby, and how I ultimately see this ending with Sid. It's an abbreviated fan evening show with Jason Mackey here with you until 7:30. Don't go anywhere. Penguins talk next on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to the Fan Evening Show. Abbreviated as it may be, I am Jason Mackey here with you until 7:30. That's when Westwood One coverage of Commanders Packers takes over. Thanks so much for finding us here in this little 90-minute sliver of heaven. The Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. I said before the break I wanted to talk a little bit about the Penguins and Sidney Crosby and this story that's been floating around trying to separate fact from fiction. I don't know if I can, but going to give it a shot. And I don't think Sidney Crosby's getting traded. I don't think this is imminent. What I do think, though, before I get more into Crosby, is that a sale is imminent. And I've said this before. I do think Fenway Sports Group is going to sell to the Hoffman family of companies. I'm a little bit surprised it hasn't happened to this point. I can tell you, this is a great forum, whereas, you know, writing, reporting, what you put in a newspaper maybe is not. It's darn close. Everybody you talk to is expecting this to happen. And without giving away exact sources or places or anything like that, there's not a side of this that I haven't investigated. I think Matt Venzel, our Penguins writer, and I are probably well up over 30 people contacted for this story. I've yet to have anybody tell me that I'm wrong. And the story I'm talking about is Fenway Sports Group selling the Penguins to the Hoffman family of companies for $1.7 billion. So that is what frames this discussion about Sidney Crosby for me. And think about that for a second. If you are the Hoffman family of companies, you have just purchased the biggest thing in your portfolio. You've purchased an NHL team. You've worked for a long, long time to ascend to this type of wealth. Now, this isn't saying anything about their quality as owners. I'm just trying to get you to look at it through the lens of Hoffman family of companies. So they've built all this wealth. Their previous sports enterprise, the jewel of what they have, is an ECHL team. They have a lot of money, and they're going to land the Penguins for a lot. They overpaid the crap out of this. That's how they outbid the Lemieux-Berkel group and they're standing here alone at $1.75 billion. Is that team, is that that group, you think they're interested in trading Sidney Crosby? Hello, good to meet you. We're your new owners. We're going to trade one of the most popular athletes in the history of the franchise. And by the way, here's our ticket plan. Here's our vision for the franchise. Here's what we're going to do across the street. And did we mention we're trading Sid? Come on. You don't buy a team. You don't go to the lengths that this group is going to acquire an asset, which the Penguins most certainly are, to up and trade Sidney Crosby. And we're talking about this. Let's be honest here. We are talking about this because of a Canadian obsession with Sidney Crosby playing for a Canadian team. Pat Brisson, his agent, said some stuff to Pierre LeBrun from The Athletic. I find it interesting, the line of questioning. And this is an interesting thing, too, about media, as we kind of peel back the curtain a little bit on this show. Somebody says something, they say something, but it's because they're asked. Pierre LeBrun, who is Canadian, decides to ask Pat Brisson about this. Now, to be fair, Pat Brisson can put that fire out real quickly and say, Sidney Crosby loves playing in Pittsburgh. You're ridiculous for even asking that question. Shut up. And he doesn't. He breathes life into it, of course. I understand that. Now, I do think there was some strategy going on. Maybe not on Sid's part, but on Pat's part. Because they are motivated to get the Penguins back into the playoffs. Sid wants to win. Sid wants to play playoff hockey. He's pretty straightforward about that. And so the past couple of days, as this has been kicked around, I'm thinking, what is the motivation here? What's the end goal? And really, the one thing that I can kind of grab and hold on to here is that Pat Brisson and Sid, and Brisson through Sid, mind you, it's not like Brisson speaks on his own without Sid having some sort of input or awareness of what's going on. They want to kick the Penguins in the pants in the most loving way possible. But, you know, don't draw this out. If you look at what Kyle Dubas and the Penguins right now owned by FSG, the what they're plotting, it's a much slower rebuild. You're basically going to wait and see on 25, 26. You've got some young guys. Maybe they surprise. Maybe they come up here. Cool. But we're not going to mortgage any future assets to try to attach them to contracts and get guys out of here. They're willing to take their time. But an ownership sale changes the calculus, in my opinion. And here is why. Again, we're looking at the Hoffman family of companies taking over the Penguins, right? Operate under the assumption that that's what's going to happen, because I'm telling you, from somebody who's been darn close to this, it almost assuredly is. Are these people going to ascend to this spot? And you have Sidney Crosby, and we've gone from the ECHL to the NHL, and you finally have an opportunity to prove yourself by owning a National Hockey League team. We're going to rebuild. Yeah, we'll get there eventually. We're just going to slow play it. Yeah, come on. Come on out to our games. Cool. Yep, we may win. We may not. You're going to want to win. You should want to win. So I'm leaving out hope. I'm leaving out thought. I want to hear their plan whenever this happens. If you're the Hoffman family of companies, go for it. Go for it. And you can do that. Kyle Dubas has cap space. He can spend it on any remaining players out there. I don't know if that's the smartest use of funds. I'd probably recommend trading. But either way, you know, and if you want to free up some more dollars or try to swing some sort of deal, find a team willing to take Erik Karlsson, discount the price by taking money back, attach some assets. Again, is that the smartest business practice? Probably not. But you also have a first-time owner who's going to want to make an impression. I would think. I'd find it highly unlikely that you buy a team in the middle of a very deep rebuild and you're just cool with that. Like, hey, we waited all this time. That's okay. It's okay to stink. Maybe we get people in the building, maybe we don't. But I'm pretty sure that these people aren't going to take over the team and suddenly decide their first order of business is to trade Sidney Crosby. Come on now. Come on. Let's also keep in mind here, and I'm going to wrap this up in about 2 minutes, but we're talking about Sidney Crosby. He is the consummate nice guy. He will answer a question a lot of times by smiling and spitting the question back at you without actually saying anything. I know a lot of hockey players will do that. He's not somebody who speaks in absolutes. In a line of questioning like this, often requires absolutes to quash it. But in all of this, I said with Andrew and Chris, and I didn't elaborate, I should have, that we're paying attention to the wrong quote here with Sid. This is something he said. Nick Kotsanika from NHL.com does a fantastic job. Detroit-based writer. I've known Nick for a long time. He's a really good guy. I believe was an editor at the Detroit Free Press. But anyway, does a fantastic job for .com. Here's the quote in his story. I think there's going to be opportunities for some young guys. So if young guys can come in and make an impact right away, that would be great. But at the same time, it's competition. It's healthy competition, I think, for jobs. Whoever earns those spots, that's who's going to get the opportunity. So I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's good as far as urgency and things like that. Nick's an American writer. Nick isn't trying to trade Sidney Crosby to Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver, Calgary, or something like that. The subject of Nick's column is Sidney Crosby having a burning desire to get back to the playoffs and do it as quickly as possible, and all of that stuff's fair game. Sid's not having a great time. He's spoken about it. But it's not trying to play fantasy hockey and trade him to the first Canadian franchise that you see. 2025-2026 is a hugely important season for the Penguins, the development of young guys, exactly what Sid is talking about right there. And yeah, I don't think Sid wants to play in Pittsburgh forever, but if they have a really good year, guys develop, guys surprise, they can compete a little bit. This is a non-topic by December, January. We're going to sit back and laugh at ourselves. And if it all goes horribly wrong, if that development stinks, if the Penguins are the worst team in the league, if they have no prospects, if we're looking at this thing in, you know, February, March, something like that, and it feels directionless, yeah, you reevaluate. I don't need to have an answer for that right now. I'll figure out that answer throughout the course of the season. And maybe that's what Sidney Crosby does. And maybe next offseason, we have this conversation for real. Because when he talks about it and actually says, hey, I'm contemplating doing something else, you know, I might want to move on. This really isn't working. I'll give it a lot more credence than I am now when we're playing Canadian fantasy hockey. All right, 50-minute mark on the fans brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. I'm a couple minutes early on that, but that's okay. I was excited to get that read. Let's move into some Pirates talk when we get back. They lost today. They were swept again. That's the second consecutive series sweep. Let's take stock of the Buccos and see what we've learned, what we haven't learned, and where it leads them going into the offseason. Fan Evening Show, abbreviated. Jason Mackey with you. Joel Nelson behind the glass. Don't go anywhere. It's Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to the Abbreviated Fan Evening Show. I am Jason Mackey here with you until 7:30. Just had a rousing segment of Penguins talk and my feelings on the Sidney Crosby trade chatter. It makes for a convenient discussion point. I'm not sure a logical one at this point. I hope it goes away. I hope we have an opportunity to talk about the Penguins playing winning hockey. One of the news pegs here is the rookie tournament up in Buffalo this weekend. That's always a good time. Covered one or two of those in my day. Buffalo, great city, too. Kind of bummed I won't be able to get up there for that, but that's all right. We got Backyard Brawl on Saturday. We've got Steelers-Seahawks, the home opener, on Sunday. It's going to be a great time. Fan weather, it's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Sunny skies and temperatures in the mid-80s in all three, Pittsburgh, Morgantown, and D.C., for the Backyard Brawl, Steelers, Seahawks, and Pirates, Nats. Pirates start a three-game series at Nationals Park, a place that is near and dear to my heart. Joel, I worked for the Nationals for a couple of years. Did you know that?
Yes, I think we...
Did you?
Yes.
We talked about this.
Yeah, we've talked about it one time. Didn't you? There was one time where you had this like very absurd like parking ticket or fine or something. I believe we talked about that like a while back, long time ago.
Yes, it was. I might have been railing on the cost of parking at Nationals Park.
Sure.
That was an exploit on my beat days. They charged like $50 and I thought that was absurd. But if you complain about it, people are like, why don't you just take the Metro? So I didn't want to take the Metro. That's $50 and is an exorbitant sum to charge a member of the media to park, go to work.
Is that for one individual game?
One individual game, $50.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Really? So basically, if you're to do that for all 81 Nationals home games, that's something that's out the wazoo. Yeah.
You can't do it. Yeah. And I mean, yes, I could have and should have Metroed, sure. But that's also a lot of money to charge for parking. And also the Metro shuts down way too early. Have you ever been to a game there?
I have not, but that would be fantastic to get to.
No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. It's a lie.
All right.
It's honestly not that great of a stadium.
Maybe if I were to see the 2019 Nationals or maybe afterward in the 2021 Nationals when they still had their guys, but...
So, yeah. That would be cool. Those were some good teams. I was there for some really bad teams. I was there... my first year living in D.C. was 2006 when they got the Nats back. Was that the summer? No, it was 05. The summer of 05 was their first year at RFK. And then I moved down in 06 and was there for about 3.5 years. And I became a pretty big Nationals fan. And that was even before I started working for them. And I did that to like earn money on the side. I covered preps at the Washington Post and they would employ me throughout the year. But when school ended, your work was done. And so in the summers, I would work for the Nationals. And I did a season at RFK, which I'm proud to say. That was awesome. And then I was the spotter for the PA announcer, and I moved over to Nationals Park when they did that. And the PA announcer at Nationals Park, if you hear his name, is Jerome Haruska on the TV broadcast. And you might, because he's got this loud, booming voice. He's a white dude named Jerome, which is hilarious. But we had a great pool, because like I said, he became a good friend of mine and I asked him to come to our wedding and I feel bad that I put him to work, but we had such a ringer for our wedding DJ. He did like DJing on the side and then he announced us. And so we had like really professional announcing. When I hear Jerome, he would do like Willie Mo Pena was one of the guys. Willie Mo Pena, like drag out the Mo, and Christian Guzman was one of them. Ryan Zimmerman, a common player that I saw a lot. So anyway, it was way more than you wanted to hear about the Washington Nationals. But the Pirates start a series against the Washington Nationals tomorrow, and they need to end this. They need to end this in a big way, and there's a lot of questions, a lot of topics to get into with the Buccos. And 2 series ago, my thought, and I remember being on the PM team talking to Andrew and Chris about this, is what happens with Ben Charrington at the end of the year. And my impression all along was that he wasn't going to be back. That was the sense, the intel I was getting from the organization. And then, what do you know, they start playing pretty good ball. I didn't look up the exact stretch, but, you know, second half, up until the Brewers series sweep, the Pirates had actually gotten into it a little bit, playing quality baseball, using starting pitching, scoring enough runs, whatever. There was a period there where they were actually on pace to match last year's win total. Not that that should be celebrated or anything like that. Now, they have since slipped. They've lost 6 in a row. Their record is down to, let me figure out where I had it here, 64 and 83. That's a 71 and 91 pace. So again, we go back to where we were before. If you're Bob Nutting, how do you look at this? How do you look at how the Pirates finished? And they have 15 games left. So there's some, you know, some story to be told here. But that, right now they're playing 7-8 baseball. If you take those 15 games, take their current winning percentage, they're on a 71 and 91 pace. So they've won 76 games the past 2 years. How do you sell progress? I don't understand it. If you would continue playing the type of baseball they were playing up until the past 6 games and carry that into the end of the regular season, maybe Bob Nutting can look at this and say, you know what? Derek Shelton was the problem. I'm going to keep Ben Charrington around. I believe enough in it. Look at the young pitching. Look at Connor Griffin, Tamar Johnson, whatever. I can't go there now. That's what this stretch has changed for me. And I like a little bit of what we've seen, but I also challenge anybody, I mean, to look at what the Pirates have done and what sort of positive news have we seen when it comes to young players and or offense. That's a lot of what we've been looking for post-trade deadline. Say it that way, post-All-Star break, something. You're looking for somebody to go out and prove that they deserve to be on this club. That has not happened. You're looking for the offense to show some signs of life, some signs of improvement. That has not happened. The Pirates probably have more questions at this point than they have answers. Just very quickly, some of the names that I jotted down, guys that I would be watching, that I wanted to see what we were going to get out of them, that they really haven't made me feel any differently. And these numbers, if I cite one of them, is prior to today's game. I did not go back and get current numbers. I'm sorry, but Henry Davis, chief among that list. He hasn't hit. Defense is very good. He hasn't hit. Even Joey Bart started to improve some things after the All-Star break, but still sitting at 243 with a 665 OPS. Do I want that out of my number one catcher? Probably not. Do I have to play that over a guy that I took 1-1? Probably not. I'd want the OPS to be, I don't know, 80, 90 points higher at least. Leover Peguero, Nick York, Cam Devaney, Jack Sawinski. Are we feeling better about any of these guys? Of course not. Peguero was hitting 128 since his 3-homer game, and that was prior to today. Cam Devaney, prior to today, hitting 115. 14 strikeouts and 26 at-bats. That's hard to do. Sawinski's hurt probably. He's in AAA. Even if he gets back here, I'm not sure what he's going to do that's going to change my opinion on him. You're probably the same way. Nick York came into the game today batting 176. That's not going to move the needle. The most we can say we've maybe learned about the Pirates is Jared Triolo's half-decent. And if you have to play him at shortstop, if you've addressed offense in a couple of other spots, there are worse problems to have. He's also playing the same position as Connor Griffin. So you know what? If it's Jared Triolo and then Connor Griffin gets up here and forces Jared Triolo into a utility spot, fine. Whatever. With Griffin, by the way, and he's in Erie, AA Altoona, they're playing the Seawolves up there. Was talking to Pomp this morning in between breaks, or I was doing a chat and he was in between breaks in the Pomp and Joe show. And we both agreed on this. It's something I've said before here. If I'm the Pirates, I'm absolutely looking at Connor Griffin to sign an extension this offseason. I'm going to make him tell me no. It makes all the sense in the world. It's what other teams have done. It's what the Brewers did with Jackson Churio. Him getting the amount of games that he's getting at AA and producing the way that he has. And by the way, he's really produced a lot. I know that's not a shock to anybody. Slash line 344, 443, 609. There's a test at the end of the show, so I'd memorize that over his first 17 games. Really good. If there's a kid you want to bet on, it's Connor Griffin, man. Buy out a couple of free agency years. Tell him, look, you can be our opening day shortstop in 2026. We'll bat you in the top five. We want you to sign for, I don't know, 8-9 years. That would give the Pirates 2 free agency years, keep him here, maybe 3. And then you're looking at it, if this guy ascends to what he can be, the Pirates could have a guy with an OPS of 800, 850, 900, something like that, and he'd be locked in a team control contract for $8 or $10 million. That's great business. And you've retained a fan favorite. The time to strike is now. They missed it with Paul Skeens. I hope they do it with Connor Griffin. That's beside the point on the rest of the things that I want to see them do this offseason, but important nonetheless. All right. Speaking of the rest of the Pirates offseason, let's stop there, pick it up when we get back, and then we'll put a little bow on it. With the Backyard Brawl, I want to talk a little bit about this game, some storylines contained therein, why it doesn't happen all the time. I'm out of here at 7:30. I think we have one more segment. Maybe we have two. We'll split it up. Don't know. Joel Nelson producing behind the glass. He'll let me know during the break. We'll be back with a little bit more Pirates talk and some Pit stuff when we get back here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. And welcome back to The Fan Evening Show. Jason Mackey with you here for an abbreviated time. Westwood One's coverage of Commanders Packers will take over at 7:30. I'll be with you until then. Looking forward to it. Have a couple loose ends to tie up here. Was talking about the Pirates in the last segment. I want to get to some of the things that I want to see them do this offseason briefly, and then we'll talk about the Backyard Brawl for a few minutes. That is Saturday in Morgantown. I am pumped. I'm heading down there to cover it for the Post-Gazette. It's a fantastic atmosphere. It's a game that should be played every year. I don't like that it's not. That was the subject of my column today. And I want to talk a little bit about why I feel that way and what I'm expecting on Saturday. The Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. So the Pirates, this is pretty simple. If you scrape together and look at their, let's take their opening day payroll and look at who has been removed from that in any form or fashion. Andrew Heaney, gone. Key Brian Hayes, gone. Caleb Ferguson, gone. You get the point. They freed up a lot of money. Now, if they even keep the payroll at the same, there's a lot of places to put some dollars, and there's some decent dollars to put in those places. I'm careful saying that because if you say there's a lot of money to spend, people, it's relative. In Pirates terms, there's some flexibility. Nah, that's bad. See? Try to talk about the Pirates spending money, you trip yourself up. But the Pirates have a couple places they can and should spend, primarily the outfield and third base. I want to see a player. I want to see them make a statement with somebody. Multi-year contract, a name that we all know, somebody who can be dropped into the middle of the lineup, no questions asked, and rake. And I want to see an outfielder, not Tommy Pham. If Tommy Pham would come back as a fourth outfielder, I'd be good with it. I need somebody with, you know, that's probably going to give me an OPS north of 800. Tommy Pham has done that exactly twice in his career, zero times since 2019. I want higher than that. They should have the money to do it. They certainly have the urgency. They certainly have the players in that clubhouse who want to see them do it. You can look at their bullpen. You can look at their starting pitchers. There are some interesting pieces in place. but I need a third baseman. I need an outfielder who can hit. I'd prefer a couple relievers to give me a little bit more depth in the bullpen. Maybe upgrade DH, and maybe that becomes Brian Reynolds because you signed another outfielder. I don't know. But some interesting moving pieces. All right, the Backyard Brawl returns, sort of returns, on Saturday. It should be around for a lot longer. I don't like that it's not. It will go away for 3 years and then return in 2029. That's too long. Boy, did I have my hopes up when you had this West Virginia-Alabama home-and-home series breaking up because of the SEC scheduling. I thought that was a golden opportunity. I also don't like the way campus leaders have talked about this. Like, Ren Baker, the athletic director from West Virginia, talked over the summer. This was, I believe, a couple days after ACC Media Days, around the time of that, and said, actually, you know, because Pat Narduzzi had said something about wanting to play West Virginia, actually, I've talked to Alan Green, and I really want to extend this series, and, you know, this is really important to us, blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. Narduzzi says he wants to play West Virginia. Narduzzi says on Monday that Alan Green reached out to West Virginia whenever he learned that they would have openings and that West Virginia had already filled the slots. And Narduzzi made a comment, and I love this version of Pat. You know, I'll just stay in my lane. I can't worry about it. You know, but West Virginia should have made that call. That should have been an opening for Pitt and West Virginia to play. I was teasing a little bit earlier a system that I think would work. And I'll give credit. Adam Bittner, a Post-Gazette multimedia editor, we record a podcast every Thursday morning, and we were talking about solutions for this. I wouldn't mind seeing something that looked like this, where you have sort of a rotational thing. For 4 years, you have Pitt and West Virginia with Penn State getting to do whatever it wants to do. Penn State plays Pitt for 4 years. West Virginia gets to do what it wants to do. West Virginia plays Penn State for 4 years, and then Pitt gets to do what it wants to do. Or maybe you go in shorter bursts. Maybe you do a home-and-home and rotate every 2 years. There should be some sort of triangular rotation here. At minimum, there's no excuse for there to be no rivalry games. Pitt will not play WVU or Penn State for the next 3 years. That's silly. Got my hopes up. Thought they might have been able to, but no. So enjoy Saturday. It's going to go away. It's unfortunate. It's a great atmosphere. Really looking forward to it. And I also think it's going to be a pretty decent football game. Maybe I'm crazy. The West Virginia loss to Ohio, not good. If you're a Mountaineers fan, Crowley, you obviously are, you either need some help or you need some somebody to come out of nowhere. So that's one of the things that I'm looking for. I came up with a list of five. Nico Marshall, the quarterback, he's actually beaten Pitt before. Think back 2 years ago. Garrett Green gets hurt. Marshall comes in. 6 of 9. That would be hard. 60 yards and a touchdown. Leads WVU to a 17-6 win. Hey, it's something, right? Marshall's been okay. It was kind of a rough watch against Ohio. Not going to lie. Pitt has some much additional intrigue. If you want to say it that way, I'm much higher on Pitt's quarterback, Eli Holstein. He talked earlier this week about owning some of the offense. He's really grown a lot in Cade Bell's system. Want to see what he's done. It's a good matchup for him as well. Also looking for Pitt to force a few turnovers. I know defensive coordinator Randy Bates is that way as well. WVU's coughed it up 5 times in 2 games. Pitt has forced just 1 turnover. Keep an eye on that. Also keep an eye on Pitt's wide receivers. Underrated group. Poppy Williams, Blue Hicks, Des Reed plays a big part. Kenny Johnson has been quiet. He's kind of their number one. I wanted to get into more of that. I don't have the time. That does it for me tonight. Joel Nelson, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate it. Let's get to our final break. And when we come back, there will be coverage of Commanders and Packers starting at 7:30 on Westwood One. I'm Jason Mackey. This has been Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.